You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
It's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
How goes it, Stars fans? Alongside Chris, my name is Ryan. We are this is Starcastic Remarks, the official Dallas Stars podcast of THPN. Please go and use THPN the next time you go and use DraftKings Sportsbook. They are our official sponsor, as always. They got their pick six option going on lately that they're trying to promote. Please go and use that promo code THPN. Like I said, that would be the best way to let them know we're the ones that sent you. Dallas Stars, unfortunately, get the loss here tonight, Chris, by final score 3-1. But the score was extremely close for the entire game. And for lack of a better term, Chris, they got goalied.
Yeah, it might have happened again. I guess Montreal just needs to put in their backup goalie against us, no matter who it is, because they're going to do better. It was a great game by Dobbs. How do you say his name? Dobbs? Dobbs?
Debesh.
Dubois?
Debesh.
Debesh? Yeah, there Debesh. You go. Good luck saying that, just reading it. Either way, he played a really good game. The Stars really struggled with their execution like they have before they went on that winning streak. This game really felt like, man, what would have happened if Roope Hintz was in this game? That's what I kept thinking, especially after that second period that the Stars didn't get one to go when they played so well. It was just, you need one more goal scorer, and it felt like Roope Hintz is a guy that could really do something big. Or maybe a Mason Marchman, or maybe a Tyler Seguin. It just kind of shows, I think it showed the injury here tonight that you didn't have another guy that could step up in that spot.
It's just the nature of the beast. Sometimes hockey is like this. I thought for a majority of the game, the Stars were the better team.
Yep.
I honestly thought that. And what's funny is that the Stars got the goal in the first period when they probably were not playing their best. I thought Montreal in the first period was the better team.
Yep.
And they scored first, Dallas did. And then, again, just this storyline continues to come out, Chris, in the fact that the Stars can never gain momentum off of when they take a lead or when they tie it up. And it's like almost immediately they allow a goal. It's they completely lose momentum every single time. And I can count more than the number of fingers that I have in my hands of how many times that has happened this year. And that I feel like has been a storyline over this season in particular.
Yeah. And it's really kind of shocking too. You'd think after the first, I mean, that happened like at least three games so far this year, and you'd think they'd have heightened attention right after a goal is scored. And it's just been consistent that the Stars have given one up immediately. And I mean, that's some bad defending by some of the Stars' best defenders. I mean, it's a great play by Caulfield or Coleman. Who had the assist on that first goal for the Habs?
Caulfield.
Hard to remember. Yeah. So it was a great play by him, no doubt, but you'd like to see Miro take care of that in most cases. And Lyubushkin got blown by in the neutral zone on that, really, to get the 2-on-1 set up in the first place, and then he can't get back in time. So, yeah, you really want to see your best defenseman make those kind of plays in such pivotal moments, like a minute after a goal is scored. It's really important times, and that's how momentum shifts, and it shifted back in their direction, and they carried that throughout the rest of the first period.
So as far as losses go, this is a loss where I don't lose my mind on, because the Stars were the better team. They just got goalied by someone who was out of his mind tonight. I mean, Dobesh was very good. And, you know, to Otter's credit, he was very good too. I mean, in all reality, they both just let in one goal, and I don't blame Otter at all for the second goal. It's just, it was a good tip by Newhook, and he never saw it. So I don't blame Otter tonight. And even in even during the first period, I thought he was the Stars' best player. And yeah. in the second period, he was like rock solid, dialed in, fantastic tonight. And it's, I mean, it's just, it's more frustration than anything, but it's a little easier as a Stars fan to kind of let this one go based off of how they've played lately. Yeah. Now, what they have to avoid doing is this becoming the norm, is, you know, only scoring one or two goals, which unfortunately that's pretty much all they've done for the last two or three games. So, I mean, I guess I'll ask this question now. What's the expectation for this team right now with all of these guys out? I mean, they're missing an entire line of top six forwards right now. Are you still expecting them to, you know, have a winning record, or are you just expecting them just to doggy paddle and keep it at 500 at this point until all those guys can get back?
Yeah, I mean, I think this team is still fully capable of having a winning record with the personnel that they have. They just need to have other players step up and score some goals. And that's what they were doing at the end of the streak they were on the road trip. I mean, they had Bork and Stankoven and that line really humming, and it felt like if they could keep that going and give us one more line that can score, it'd be all right. And that just wasn't the case here tonight. And it's, you just have to avoid slipping back into what happened before this really good set that the Stars were on. You can't stay at 1 to 2 goals a game. It's going to be too hard. I mean, Otter and the defense can scrape a few of those out for you, but that's not going to get you a winning record. That might get you to 500 if Otter and the defense are amazing. But you got to get some goals from somewhere else. It can't just be the top two lines, and especially not when the top two lines don't have Rope now either.
And honestly, Chris, what you really needed was one of those power play goals to go in.
Yep.
I was really hoping, because this is the first home game in about 2 weeks' time. Mm-hmm. And they'll have another one on Sunday after a matinee against Colorado on Saturday. I was really hoping we would see a little bit better power play tonight. I truly didn't think they were bad tonight. They just, I guess if you're looking for another storyline here tonight, is they didn't convert on their chances. It's like in past games where they've only had, you know, two goals or less, they just didn't get very many chances or at all or whatever. That was not the case tonight. I mean, if I had to guess, they probably had 20 plus scoring chances in the second and third periods alone. So tonight is just a mix of getting goalied, which we talked about, the power play not converting for them like they really, really, really need it to when they're missing a bunch of offensive firepower. And then even the ones who don't normally get goals, they weren't able to capitalize on their scoring chances. I mean, that's basically the game.
Yeah, and the power play, again, you had hope coming into it because of how good it played over the road trip that they were on. They were around 50%, I think, to finish up that road trip. And to come out here, you get four chances, especially the big one in the third period. I mean, that one felt massive. You got to give credit to the Canadians. They had a great kill, but you got to find a way to produce on these. This is what's really killing this team on these home games, I feel like, is they get these huge chances on the power play. And you're right, the first two power plays that the Stars had, those were good momentum builders, and they felt positive. That one in the third period was not. They got fully shut down.
Let me see. I'm trying to remember. What was the Stars power play that they had? Oh, the one that went 5-on-3 for like 3 seconds, right? Yeah. Okay, yeah, because the Blue Meld chance was not on the power play. It was right after the power
Correct.
Play.
Correct. Yeah.
So, you know, speaking of Blue Meld, let's talk about him tonight. He was fantastic tonight. I thought this is the best game he's had in this very brief call up that he's had.
Yeah, it was really good and shocking he didn't score. I mean, I can't believe his shot is really his best skill, I feel like, that he's taken from the AHL. He can score goals in crazy ways. The Texas Stars a lot of times switch up their power play and they'll actually just play a spread. So they'll have one guy in front of the net and the other four guys on one on either point and two on half walls on either side as well. He'll just get a pass on the half wall, skate up a little bit, and snipe it past the goalie. I mean, I've seen that happen several times this year. So to get so many good chances tonight and to not have him go is honestly shocking. And you got to give credit to Montreal goaltender. He was insane. I mean, they showed two of Lumel's shots in slow-mo, and they were just great saves with the appendages on both of them, just reactionary saves. So he was fantastic.
The big chance for him at 12 minutes remaining in the third, that one actually hit the post. So Dobesh actually got a piece of it, and it hit the post. So because he got enough of it with the blocker, he was just barely able to knock it wide. So, I mean, that was probably the game right there. And then, you know, a minute, 15 seconds later, Newhook does what he does. You know, speaking of that, since we're here anyways, did you think that was too high? I didn't think it was ever too high.
It was really close. The problem with that crossbar challenge is that you don't have a camera that's right at the crossbar height. So no matter what camera angle you're viewing it at, it's not going to be right
on. Up higher.
Right. It's going to be up higher, or it's going to be, I guess you use a goal camera and it'd be way down too low. So you're not going to be able to see the exact level. So really what that means is on those crossbar high sticking tip challenges, if it's close, it's good. That's what it really comes down to. And that's unfortunate. It was really close, but if the Stars got one like that, I'd be pissed if they turned it over. So I think it's having it stand with the call on the ice is probably the correct thing to do.
I really thought that Blumel had a great game, just to go back to him. He really impressed me tonight. And if there's anybody, I mean, we need somebody to step up, and he did tonight, just didn't get rewarded for it. Another guy I wanted to talk about individually that I was really frustrated with tonight, and I'm back on it again. I'm going to suitor him. Dumba was awful tonight. Absolutely awful. Just in every single way that you can possibly think. There were three in particular that I was really, really frustrated with, and like chances where they were very easy for him to get out. And he just either whiffed on it or made a really stupid play or passed the puck into the center of the ice with no Stars there. He just had a rough, rough game. It was really bad.
Yeah, and I'll extend that to all of our right-hand defensemen tonight. Lyubushkin only has 11:35 time on ice. Wonder if there's anything injury-related to that. And then Lundqvist, 14:30, and he had that pretty rough delayed game penalty with not a lot of pressure on him, which was pretty bad as well. So the whole right side of the defense tonight did not look good. It looked how we feared it might at the preseason. So I'm glad that Haskinen, Harley, and Lindell all had amazing defensive games. They had several outstanding individual defensive efforts, but yeah, the right side did not pick it up.
And you know what? I'll echo what you just said, especially Esa Lindell. Dude, that guy is absolutely ridiculous. You can't talk enough about him. And I know I'm the one that is most bullish on him, I feel like, than between you, me, or James. But today is a perfect example of what he absolutely does for the team. I mean, he stops the goal when it really could have been bad. You know, going 2-1 into the second intermission, it was like 3 seconds left, and he saved a goal. He absolutely saved a goal. He blocked a shot on the penalty kill and very quickly took the Montreal Canadiens off the power play and made it 4-on-4. And he, again, there's not much more you can say about Esa Lindell other than I think he's underpaid. And I think that he, if there was a true Norris like defensive defenseman trophy, like you said, Chris, he'd be up for it just about every year.
Yeah. A lot of talk in the chat since we mentioned poor play from our right side defenseman, a lot of talk about bringing Bishop back. Any thoughts on that? If that's something that we might see?
Not yet. This is one game that the defense was not particularly great on. And Montreal had their chances tonight, but something they didn't do is they didn't really capitalize on their, you know, main scoring chances. I mean, their second goal wasn't even a scoring chance. It was just a tip with from a point shot. So I think it's a one-off game. And if it's not, then I would really start to be worried, because if the Stars cannot score with their players out that they don't have, and their defense is going to start struggling a little bit, then I don't know how we're going to win games.
Yeah, I get the Bischel stuff. I really do. I think he would be helpful, especially in those games where the Stars get hit pretty hard. I mean, it's hard to hit a guy that large. But what this game came down to is the Stars couldn't score. That's really the issue. And unfortunately, there's not a Bischel version forward that we have that can come in and score some crazy goals. I mean, we're trying. Blumel looked good here tonight. Ritzkovian is able to do some of that too. But that's where our issues really lie. So I think giving Dumba the chance to try and find his game still here in the season, and if he doesn't, you have Bischel to bring up. I think that's totally okay. And you got to focus on scoring goals. That's where the Stars' issues are. We're one of the best defensive teams in the league. Even with a game like tonight where we have to rely on our left side can do it. So it's not that big of a deal. But if you only score one goal, you're not going to win many hockey games. That's the kicker here tonight.
Hey guys, have you tried Pick 6 from DraftKings yet? What are you waiting for? The NFL playoffs are here and time is running out. As the official daily fantasy sports partner of the NFL, DraftKings does fantasy sports like no one else. Pick 6 is super easy to play. Just select two or more players and choose whether they'll have more or less of a stat, like touchdowns, yardage, sacks, and more. It's fun, simple, and you can win big. Best of all, Pick 6 is available in most states, including Missouri, California, Texas, Georgia, and much more. And here's the kicker. DraftKings is making it even sweeter for first-timers. New Pick 6 customers can play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. That's right. Play $5, get $50 in credits to keep the action going. Win more cash with Pick 6. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app and use the code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to play $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 30 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Anybody else offensively that stood out to you that seemed to have chances, sort of kind of like Blumel?
I mean, Robertson was great tonight. He scored that goal. He's tied for the lead in shots. I think he played really well and stepped up in a good way with Roope being out. And that top line looked good with Johnson up there as well. So I thought they were really going to be the ones that would be able to get another one to go more than anybody else. Maybe Blumel, I was thinking throughout the game, but that top line looked great. I thought they were going to be able to tie it up late.
I agree. I thought that top line with Johnson on it, and especially Dadonov. I thought Dadonov was pretty good tonight. He had a couple of chances. It's just these guys are not your top guys. They're not your clutch guys. And again, it's not really fair, but Maverick and Logan have really got to step it up. I mean, we have to rely upon them more now than ever, because if you're not going to get goals from your other top six guys right now, like Duchesne and Ben, who have been kind of quiet lately, at least in the goal scoring department, then, I mean, someone's got to do it. And I mean, maybe Blumel can do it. Maybe Ritzy can do it. But I mean, I just don't think the coaches have a lot of confidence in Ritz, because I don't even think he played in the third period at all. If I had to take a guess, because I don't remember seeing him. I remember seeing him in the first and the second.
He only had 6 minutes, 42 seconds time on ice. So,
yeah, it's just when you don't have a lot of players right now and you're dressing like seven rookies in the same season, yeah, that's going to kind of happen. So yeah.
I was kind of interested in Ritzkovian coming up and Huru coming down. I thought the size and Huru helped him play a better role on those bottom lines that he was playing on for Dallas. I thought that was an interesting call up.
I don't know what the thought process was there other than maybe Huru just needs to play. He needs to play more than just 10, 11 minutes. But like he's not getting top line minutes like he is in the AHL.
He's not a similar kind of prospect, I feel like. That he's an older guy. He's not a kid. I think he's like a little bit younger than me, maybe. So he might be my age, actually. So it's not like he's a young budding prospect. He's pretty much a developed player. So I don't know. I think Huru would have done a little bit better there. But also Ritzy deserves a good look in the NHL. He's played outstanding for Texas, and his two-way game is really solid. I just think his size has really been a hindrance to him, especially in the NHL.
And then, I was actually going to say this, Chris. Huru is only 23. He's not that old, so he's still considered prospect, for me at least, at 23.
Yeah, but it's a lot different than like Bischel needing more minutes. You know, when you have a guy who's 20 or younger, that's when you really want to get them the most minutes.
And to your I forgot what you were. Oh, that's what you were talking about, the size. And what's really interesting now is when you look at the size of a lot of these forwards on the Dallas side, some of them are pretty small now compared to what we've seen in the last couple of years. I mean, again, we'll mention it. Stankoven's 5'7". Bork is under 6 foot. Ritzy is under 6 foot as well. I think he's 5'10". I mean, who else? Lundqvist. Lundqvist is like 5'10 as well, maybe 5'11. So all of a sudden, we got all of these small guys. They're not really small. They're way bigger than us. But
bigger
still.
Than you. Speak for yourself.
Yeah, hey, I am. Okay, fair. But anyways, that's something that could be a hindrance. And we've seen in the past that, you know, Jim Neal really likes the bigger guys normally. He normally goes for more flesh when it comes to NHL rosters.
Yeah, that was an interesting call up. Didn't really work out.
Okay, one other thing I wanted to talk about. I thought it was just funny. I loved watching Jamie Benn jump into that pile. I caught myself giggling a little bit, and then I looked around, and so was everybody else up in the press box. So I was like, okay, it's not just me. So we're all just kind of chuckling up there. I'm less like, that's prime Jamie Benn. I never saw his face, you know, during that scrum or whatever, but I can imagine him just like smirking and with the biggest grin on his face as he's jumping in, both fists forward. That was awesome. I love seeing that.
And when you've got Marchment, Sagan, and Ropé down, and someone's putting their glove in Robo's face, I mean, you can't afford to lose another one for sure. So that's the right thing to do in that situation.
Right. Okay. I do want to mention this because chat has also talked about this quite a bit. And this seems to be a push, at least from Stars fans a lot. And Jacob is just the closest one down. Jacob saying, I just don't want Miro on the power play anymore, honestly. Brooke agrees with him here. And then he's still an elite D man, Jacob says, regardless of how lack of goal scoring. Very smart player overall. I'm not disappointed in him except for his lack of game and on the power play. Love Miro still. And, you know, that's a decent, that is absolutely a very decent summary of Miro right now. He's just not the same offensive weapon that he was 2 years ago when he had like 70 plus points. So, I mean, is it time to give Harley the reins to maybe both power play units, or do you let Harley do PP1 and Nils do PP2, or maybe we say Lindell? What do you think?
I mean, yeah, it's time to shake something up, and it's time for Miro to focus more on that offense too. I mean, that decor focusing on their own end of the ice has led to the best defense in the NHL, but right now he's on a pace for less than 40 points this year. I mean, last year he had 54, the season before that he had 73. That's where we thought he'd be at, and that's where he needs to be at if he really wants to put his name in the conversation as the best defenseman in the league. Turning down like this is not going to put him anywhere near that. So it's he's not in a good spot. He needs to be trying to score, especially in games like tonight, especially when your top forwards are dropping like flies. You need some help from your best player, on the offensive end of the puck. It's got to come. So I would say I am a little bit disappointed in him offensively. Defensively, he's been great. Offensively, we need more.
Yeah. It's just a lack of goal scoring. And I think that's really the story of the game tonight, is just didn't convert on their chances that they had. They had very good scoring chances throughout the game, despite missing a whole bunch of good players. They weren't able to take advantage on the power play when they really needed to in a game where they're missing a lot of offensive weapons. Otter was really good. Dobesh was better. That's unfortunate. And I mean, that's really it. That's the game right there in a nutshell. So that's about it. Any other things we need to talk about, Chris, before biggest winner, biggest loser?
Let's do it.
I didn't think so. Okay. Biggest winner, biggest loser. Who you got?
I'm going to start with biggest loser. The biggest loser tonight is rolling four lines. The Stars had, let's count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 forwards with over 20 minutes time on ice. That is shocking for the Dallas Stars and for Pete DeBoer, who likes to have them very even within 5 minutes a lot of the times from the fourth to the first line. So that's not how the Dallas Stars want to play hockey. I feel like you could really see it in the 6-on-5 situation. The Stars were keeping those guys out as long as they could. You could tell they were gassed, but, I mean, with the timeouts, they just kept putting them out there because they were the ones that they trusted to actually put the puck in the net. So, yeah, losing a whole second line, like you've mentioned, is really hurting the way that the Stars want to play hockey.
Ardell saying, biggest loser is every AHL forward Dallas calls up so far. We need help with all the injuries. Call up Cole Lind already. Chris, you've had some specific experience watching Cole Lind down there at Cedar Park. So what do you think about Ardell's thought process there?
Yeah, Cole Lind or Cameron Hughes are both really interesting options to get called up. Recently, these past few call-ups with Huru and Ritzy and Blumel are kind of rewards for doing a good job and scoring goals in the AHL and showing really their skill. That's what they've been able to show a lot recently, especially in the past 10 games. Texas has been on a 9-1 streak. So they're getting rewarded for doing that, but it's not materializing in the AHL. They're not able to bring that same intensity and to find the same creativity. Lind and Hughes are a little bit more experienced guys who have been around the AHL a little bit longer, have bounced up to the NHL a few times, and are bigger, a little bit more physical, and they might be able to have a little bit more impact in the NHL immediately than these younger guys, younger, flasher, a little bit smaller guys might be able to. So that's a really interesting idea. I don't hate the idea, especially if, I mean, I think they'd play more than 7 minutes that Ritzy did tonight.
I think if it gets dire and the whole two goals or less thing continues, then maybe I'm just doing it based off of this game. I would keep Blumel up here because he had a bunch of chances and he looked really good in the game tonight. And I'd probably send, whoever combination of two forwards, Ritzy and who else? I guess it's just Ritzy. Send Ritzy back to Cedar Park and then call both of those guys up and see what they can do. But we're not there yet. We're not quite there yet. You still have to remember the Stars came off of a really, really good stretch run where they won 7 in a row. They're missing a lot of guys right now. You can't really expect them to go 8-2 like they did. So right now I think they really just need to tread water. That's the thing I'm expecting right now. If we get anything better than that, then great. But we can't keep playing games where we score two goals or less. We're just not going to win.
You got distracted. Biggest winner is Jason Robertson. I mean, he had the goal tonight. He looked really dangerous. I thought he was going to him or that first line was going to get another.
Agreed. My biggest thank you, Chris. You're a better host than I am.
I know.
My biggest loser, I'll give it to Matt Dumba for all the reasons I've already talked about. He frustrated me tonight. Biggest winner tonight is the goaltending on both sides. Just ridiculous. Otter was really good. Dobestra was really good, too. It's just
a terrible name, though. How am I supposed to remember how to say that?
Dobesh.
Never going to remember that. I'm going to see Dobbs every single time.
Dobbies. house elves running everywhere. No, I'm just kidding. That is still to the day like the saddest death scene in any movie period, by the way, is the Dobby death scene. Not relevant, but whatever. Okay, Chris, anything else tonight?
Nope.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you guys for following along with us live here this evening. There's a whole bunch of you who are listening afterwards, just on the audio side or even on YouTube. If you're listening on the audio side, leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to your podcast, as my mic goes down again. And if you're watching on YouTube, please click like and subscribe. And, you know, we'd really appreciate it. Click subscribe as well. We're getting up there in the YouTube world.
It's Should awesome. They hit like as well?
Yeah, why not? Sure. And as always, guys, thank you so much to our sponsors, DraftKings Sportsbook. Pick 6 is that new thing they got going on. THPN is the promo code. Alongside Chris, my name's Ryan. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. We'll hope for a better outcome on Saturday as the Stars take on the Colorado Avalanche in Denver. Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next time.